The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mark Newman from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall share with you information from various medical sources. The People's Pharmacy, skeptic, finds that urine clears toenail fungus. Question, thank you for writing about peeing on your feet. At first, I thought it was too gross. I have, or did have, toenail fungus on my left foot. I had tried all the over-the-counter medicines with no results. I even asked my doctor if he knew of a cure. The only thing he suggested was tea tree oil. That didn't work either. When I read your column, I thought, what do I have to lose? I stood in the bathtub and did the deed every morning. Within 2 weeks, the fungus had cleared up. I was amazed. Not only did it work, but it was free. Answer. We too are amazed. It normally takes months for nail fungus to clear up. We can almost hear the dermatologists laughing or gnashing their teeth. Urine is an old military secret, however. Soldiers and sailors have been using it as an antifungal remedy for decades to treat athlete's foot. Dermatologists have used concentrated urea, a component of urine, to treat a range of skin conditions, including athlete's foot and nail fungus. And that's cited in Dermatology Online Journal, November 15, 2013. Question. I am surprised that you have not suggested apple cider vinegar for people with high blood pressure. I have been taking metoprolol succinate for years, and it works most of the time. But if my blood pressure starts to rise and I feel uncomfortable, I take 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar on salad or in my glass of water. It brings my pressure back under control quickly. Why don't you recommend it? Answer. We have written about vinegar to stop muscle cramps quickly and to prevent the rapid rise of blood sugar and insulin after a meal. It seemed unlikely that there would be any evidence support its use to control blood pressure. To our surprise, however, a search of the medical literature revealed a study demonstrating that acetic acid or vinegar can lower blood pressure in rats. Bioscience, Biotechnology and Biochemistry, December 2001. The authors offer a plausible explanation for this effect. Vinegar reduces blood pressure through the renin-angiotensin system. This is the same way that widely prescribed drugs like lisinopril or losartan work. We were disappointed to discover that there have been no clinical trials to see whether vinegar works as well for humans as it does for rats. Our e-guide to blood pressure treatment offers several other non-drug approaches to managing high blood pressure. It is available in the Health Guide section at www.peoplespharmacy.com. 4-step formula to stop cold sores. Question. I'd like to share my approach to cold sores. Aside from preventative tactics such as avoiding stress and fatigue, as well as exercising, eating appropriately, getting all your vitamins and proteins, increasing lysine intake, and avoiding arginine-rich foods, there is a winning formula of 4 treatments that fight any outbreak. As soon as I feel the dreaded tingle, I take an L-lysine supplemental pill daily. Take 2 prescription valacyclovir pills every 12 hours for 2 days. Put prescription Zevirax cream on the sore every 3 hours. And apply a Breva cream at the same time as Zevirax. Mix both together and apply generously. This combination has been working for me. Answer. Such an approach has not been tested in clinical trials, but it does make some sense. Valacyclovir, or Valtrex, is an oral antiviral medicine proven to shorten the duration of cold sores. Topical acyclovir, or Zevirax, works in a similar manner to keep the virus from replicating. Abreva is an over-the-counter antiherpes cream that works differently from a cyclovir, so perhaps the combination would be more effective than either drug alone. Question. My doctor prescribed amlodipine for high blood pressure. It made my ankle swell so much that he switched me to lisinopril instead. I took one lisinopril pill and ended up in the emergency room with a swollen tongue and chest pains. I could hardly breathe. I was given an EKG, and later I was told I could go home or stay overnight. I decided to go home, but in the middle of the night, I broke out in itchy red hives from head to toe. I thought it was from the sticky patches they put on your body for the EKG. However, it turned out that it was from the lisinopril. What can I do now? One of the most common side effects of amlodipine or Norvasc is edema or fluid retention. Women appear to be more susceptible to this problem. Up to 15% complain of swelling in their feet, ankles, and legs. Lisinopril, an ACE inhibitor, can cause a kind of allergic reaction called angioedema. In this condition, the face, neck, tongue, and throat can swell. This potentially life-threatening reaction requires immediate emergency treatment. Because of your reaction to lisinopril, you will need to find a completely different approach to blood pressure management. Question. I use naltrexone off-label to help me control hair pulling. It has been a godsend and helped me more than I ever thought possible. I've struggled with the disorder for almost 40 years, and naltrexone has been most helpful. Answer. Trichotillomania involves compulsively pulling out hair from the scalp, eyebrows, or other parts of the body. It can be quite challenging to treat. The Food and Drug Administration has not approved any medications for this condition. Cognitive behavioral therapy may be effective. Dietary supplements such as NAC, which is N-acetylcysteine, and inositol, which is I-N-O-S-I-T-O-L, also may be helpful. And that's cited in Archives of General Psychiatry, July 2009, as well as International Clinical Psychopharmacology, March 2017. Naltrexone is approved for treating addictions such as alcoholism. Some research supports the use of naltrexone to treat conditions like compulsive hair pulling, shoplifting, and other behavioral addictions, cited in the European Addiction Research Online, September 7, 2017. Question. I have been plagued with high cholesterol most of my life. Doctors put me on statins, and the result was terrible pain and loss of short-term memory. The statins lowered my cholesterol from the 300s down to the 200s, but the side effects were totally unacceptable. Switching statins and lowering the dosage didn't help. My new doctor prescribed Repatha, and within 6 weeks, my cholesterol dropped to 107 with no side effects. I have been on Repatha for 6 months now and can't say enough about the new treatment. Answer. Evalacumab, or Repatha, or it's probably pronounced Evalocumab, and it's spelled E-V-O-L-O-C-U-M-A-B. That's a generic of Repatha, is a relatively new injectable cholesterol-lowering medicine. It is approved for people with heart disease or those who have familial or inherited super high cholesterol. Repatha usually is prescribed together with a statin. However, some doctors are prescribing it for patients who can't tolerate statin side effects. A study published in the New England Journal of Medicine, May 4, 2017, showed that Repatha plus a statin reduced heart attacks, strokes, and the need for stents more than placebo plus statin. Side effects are relatively uncommon. Some people experience serious allergic reactions, flu-like symptoms such as sore throat and cough, back pain, headache, muscle pain, dizziness, and digestive distress. The Mayo Clinic Health Letter, News and Our Views. Silver diamine fluoride, stopping cavities without fillings. When your dentist says you have an area of tooth decay, it often means there's a filling in your future. But for some older adults, a product called silver diamine fluoride may be an alternative to fillings. Silver diamine fluoride has been used in other countries for years and was approved for use in the U.S. by the Food and Drug Administration in 2016. Silver diamine fluoride is a liquid mixture of silver and fluoride that can be painted on the areas of tooth decay without the need to remove the decay. It's also used on areas where gum tissue is receded, exposing a sensitive root surface. Silver diamine fluoride hardens over a few weeks, creating a protective barrier over the decay or exposed root. The silver inhibits bacteria that cause decay. The fluoride helps strengthen areas where decay has caused loss of tooth minerals. As the silver and fluoride absorb into the tooth, they can slow or stop further decay from occurring. Your tooth isn't returned anew, but the decay may be slowed enough or possibly even stopped to potentially avoid or delay the need for a filling. In addition, silver diamine fluoride is known to be effective at reducing the sensitivity of exposed tooth roots. One downside of silver diamine fluoride is that it causes a dark stain on the teeth where it is applied. However, among its best uses is for decay occurring along the gum line, where fillings are more difficult to place and where the stain may be less noticeable. Because it's low cost, painless, and easy to apply and requires no aftercare, silver diamine fluoride or a similar varnish treatment may prove to be a particularly welcome option among people who have, number one, decay in hard-to-reach areas, two, trouble with self-care or typical fillings, such as people who have Alzheimer's disease, three, dry mouth or people who are receiving cancer treatment, and four, limited access to traditional dentistry. Other similar products include 5% fluoride varnish and 1% chlorhexidine. Or chlorhexidine varnish. These alternative options are painted on in a similar fashion, don't cause the black staining found with the silver diamine fluoride, and appear to have similar results. It's still not clear if the silver diamine fluoride will outshine these other products in its effectiveness to stop decay progression, but it's certainly another tool to be considered. A pain in the jaw. Temporomandibular disorders. You love the satisfying crunch of a handful of almonds and enjoy them as a healthy snack most days, but lately that crunch has become a pain in the jaw. In fact, the discomfort has been coming up periodically, but most often while you're eating. What you're experiencing may be a temporomandibular disorder, often due to problems with the temporomandibular joint, or TMJ. In most cases, the discomfort from these disorders is temporary and can be relieved with self-care, but persistent pain may require further evaluation and treatment. A complex joint. The TMJ connects your jawbone or mandible to the temporal bone on each side of your skull. Muscles and ligaments surrounding the joints control the position and movement of your jaw. A small shock-absorbing disc separates the two bones, helping to keep movement smooth. To allow for the jaw to move both up and down and side to side, the joint functions as a hinge and with sliding motions. Because of the complexity of how this part of the body operates, problems often occur. It's estimated that between 5 and 12% of people will experience a temporomandibular disorder. What causes the pain? Temporomandibular disorders typically stem from the dysfunction in one of two places, the joint or the muscles. In some cases, both may be involved. Trauma to the jaw, or TMJ, plays a role in some temporomandibular disorders. The shock-absorbing disc may erode or move out of alignment, or the TMJ itself may be damaged by impact or overwork. Degenerative or inflammatory diseases such as rheumatoid arthritis also increase your risk. In fact, It's estimated that over half of people with rheumatoid arthritis also experience a temporomandibular disorder. Women are affected more often than men, so there may be a hormonal link as well. Certain behaviors also may increase the likelihood of developing a disorder, including clenching or grinding your teeth and repetitive jaw motions such as from gum chewing or pipe smoking. Poor head and neck posture can contribute to the pain. For example, musicians who use their jaws frequently, including singers, violinists, and woodwind players, also commonly experience temporomandibular pain. Pain and other symptoms. The hallmark of a temporomandibular disorder is facial pain, which may occur in the jaw, in the area in front of the ear, or in one or both TMJs. Pain with chewing is common. Other signs and symptoms include a headache, earache, ringing in the ear, such as tinnitus, difficulty opening or closing the mouth, jaw clicking or popping, jaw catching or locking, tooth pain in the molar region, neck stiffness and pain. Most people will develop only a mild form of temporomandibular disorder. Symptoms will improve significantly or disappear fully within a few weeks to months, especially with good self-care. However, others may develop long-term pain that can be persistent or even debilitating. Talk to your physician or dentist if symptoms are giving you trouble. Temporomandibular disorders are usually diagnosed based on your symptoms, health history, and findings from a physical examination. Imaging isn't typically needed initially, but may be used with long-term symptoms and to check for underlying causes such as arthritis. Conservative treatments. The first steps taken to treat temporomandibular pain often involve changes you make to avoid aggravating the pain. This may mean eating softer foods or taking smaller bites, and avoiding large jaw movements such as with gum chewing and wide yawning. Changes in your posture and sleep position can also be beneficial. If you often find yourself clenching your jaw when you're under stress or pressure, learning to be mindful of this tension and practicing relaxation techniques may decrease pain. If you're unable to prevent pain with these strategies, try applying moist heat or ice to the area. This is particularly effective when combined with gentle jaw stretching and relaxing exercises. Your doctor or physical therapist can recommend exercises appropriate for your particular condition. Non-prescription pain relievers, such as ibuprofen, Advil, Motrin IB, others, may be used to provide temporary pain relief, or your doctor may recommend a stronger pain medication, muscle relaxant, or antidepressant drug to help relieve symptoms. If the wear pattern on your teeth suggests that you may grind them at night, your dentist can recommend a specially designed mouth guard known as an occlusal splint. These devices not only protect your teeth, but also support the TMJ and surrounding muscles and may reduce pain and other symptoms. Cognitive behavioral therapy may be recommended to help you understand the factors and behaviors that may aggravate your pain so you can avoid them. Knowing these may be particularly beneficial for people who experience anxiety or depression along with a temporomandibular disorder. When greater help is needed, most people with a temporomandibular disorder will find relief with conservative measures, but for severe or long-lasting pain, other options may be considered, and they include injections of botulism toxin type A or Botox, integrative medicine therapies such as acupuncture, massage, and chiropractic manipulation, orthodontic or dental procedures to change the bite. However, it's important to note that evidence for these measures is either lacking or inconclusive. For persistent pain or functional limitations, surgery may ultimately be recommended. Arthrocentesis is a minimally invasive procedure that involves the insertion of tiny openings into the TMJ so that fluid can be flushed through the joint to remove debris. If jaw locking occurs along with pain, surgery on the mandible or modified, it's called a modified condylotomy, can address recurrent dislocation of the TMJ causing this problem. If structural problems exist, surgery to repair or replace the TMJ may be done, either arthroscopically or with open surgery. Your doctor can help you weigh the benefits and risks of the different types of surgery. Another option for older adults involves injections of a corticosteroid medication or hyaluronic acid, which may provide pain relief for up to 6 months at a time. This treatment is typically used for people with a temporomandibular disorder linked to degenerative disease such as osteoarthritis. However, little evidence is available on this treatment, and the injections are recommended for short-term use only. Health tips: freshening bad breath. Bad breath, or halitosis, often stems from bacteria feeding on food particles in the mouth. Fend off bad breath by brushing your teeth. Brush at least twice a day. Consider also brushing after meals. If brushing isn't convenient, swish with water or mouthwash, or chew sugarless gum to rid your mouth of food particles. Next, cleaning your tongue. Odor-causing bacteria thrive on the rough surface of the tongue, particularly at the back. Mucus from post-nasal drip can also feed odor-causing bacteria. Use a toothbrush to brush your tongue, or use a tongue scraper. Gargling with a mouthwash also may help. 3. Flossing daily. This removes food particles between your teeth. 4. Drinking enough water or chewing sugarless gum. Saliva and water wash away food particles that feed bad breath. Talk to your doctor if you have persistent dry mouth, as it can be caused by a number of medications or certain diseases. Watching what you eat, drink, and inhale. Tobacco, garlic, onions, alcohol, and coffee cause temporary bad breath. Talking to your dentist or doctor. Bad breath that doesn't respond to these changes may be related to a dental problem, such as a gum disease or an abscess tooth. Dry mouth or problems of the sinuses, throat, stomach, or lungs may cause bad breath, as may a number of diseases. And finally, brushing your dentures. Brush before soaking them at night and before putting them back in. News and our views. Non-opioid pain relievers effective for chronic pain. Opioid drugs such as oxycodone and morphine are known for their addictive properties as well as for their ability to relieve pain. Even though there is little research on the use of opioids for chronic pain, many people continue to use them for this purpose despite the risk of misuse and dependence. A study in the March 6, 2018 issue of JAMA further highlights the limited effectiveness of opioids for chronic pain. Researchers followed up 240 veterans with severe back pain or pain related to knee or hip osteoarthritis who had pain that had persisted for at least 6 months. Participants were assigned to two groups, one that received an opioid and the other that received a non-opioid pain reliever. Those in the non-opioid group were first given acetaminophen and non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs such as ibuprofen or naproxen sodium. Some in this group were later given other non-opioid prescription drugs used for relief of more severe pain as needed. Over 12 months, there was no significant difference in pain-related function between the two groups. Those in the non-opioid group reported that the intensity of their pain was significantly better compared with the opioid group. Negative effects, including misuse, hospitalization, and falls, caused more than twice the number of participants to drop out in the opioid group than the non-opioid group. The researchers summarized that opioids don't have any advantages over non-opioids to outweigh their risks. Mayo Clinic experts acknowledge the risks involved with opioid use and recommend possible alternatives to help manage pain. If an opioid is still recommended, such as for managing cancer pain, work with your doctor to use the drug safely. New drug-infused wipe for excessive sweating. Some people experience frequent or consistent excessive sweating or hypohidrosis of their hands, feet, or underarms, which can seriously interfere with work, recreation, or social activities. There are a number of treatments for hyperhidrosis, but each has limits and drawbacks. A new option for treatment is topical glycopyrronium, or it's called Obrexa, Qbrexa, Qbrexza. This is an individually packaged towelette, much like the moist towelettes for hand cleaning, that's soaked in the drug. The product was recently approved to be applied to the armpit for excessive sweating. Qbrexa is an anticholinergic drug, which is a class of drug that's sometimes taken orally for excessive sweating. Oral anticholinergic drugs have a number of side effects, particularly for older adults, and may not be tolerable. The aim of Qbrexa is to keep the drying anticholinergic effect only where it's needed and not throughout the entire body. Early research indicates that Qbrexa reduces sweating in those with hyperhidrosis with fairly mild side effects that either go away over time or are tolerable. Qbrexa is a very new and research is limited. Mayo Clinic experts are cautiously optimistic about the drug. They say much more study is needed to establish its role in therapy, both in terms of effectiveness and side effects. This is particularly true over the long term and as it relates to older adults or those with certain chronic diseases. Second opinion, a spot was seen on my lung in a chest x-ray taken for another reason. My doctor said it's unlikely to be cancer, but scheduled a follow-up CT scan just in case. How does my doctor know it's probably not cancer? A single white spot on a lung, solitary lung nodule, is a common finding on chest imaging done for another reason. Although most nodules are non-cancerous, it can be worth examining the finding for cancer. If detected early, lung cancer is typically treatable and even curable with surgery. Most of the time, lung nodules are scars or markings from a previous inflammation or infection. A non-cancerous tumor can also occur. Estimating your risk of cancerous tumor can be done fairly reliably. And we'll continue this next week, because we've run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mark Newman, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time, and if you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138 and stay healthy. Thank you.